Robinhood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
This is Gretchen Hochmeister, the Executive Director of the Hotchkiss Library in Sharon, Connecticut, and I'm joined today by Tammy Gaskell from the Rodejan Library, just over the border in New York, and you serve the towns of Hillsdale and Ankrumdale, is that right?
Ankrum and Copake.
And Copake. I always forget Copake. There we go. Thanks. And Copake. So today we are charged with discussing unique and special exhibits that we have had or would like to have or have currently, I guess, at the library. And I would say at our library, we really focus on historical items since we've been around since 1893. But Tammy, why don't you start the conversation off? Tell us what,
sure.
what kind of exhibits
yeah.
you have.
So we do have a number of art exhibits. We actually don't have anything on the walls right at the moment, but we will have again soon. We just had an exhibit come down called Nurtured by Nature by Nancy and Lee Rogers, which was Nancy's pieces were paper works inspired by the natural world, while Lee's were photographs and photograms. Generally have exhibits up. They run about 2 months. Other recent ones of note were Liz Rudy had a series of woodcut prints of birds. Bob Rosegarten did a wonderfully whimsical exhibit. He does three-dimensional pieces that are made out of recycled materials and unrelated objects. Quite a fun exhibit. We had a recent exhibit by Lynn Perella, which was collage, Threads of History, Suffragette Portraits and Quilts in Mixed Media. So that was, you know, portraits of a wide variety of women throughout history. I could go on. We also have a little display case where we have sort of fun things. We had, like, Pez dispensers, which was a kind of fun thing, but some historical exhibits as well. We had a Civil War exhibit not too long ago in conjunction with the Rodejan Historical Society displaying various Civil War artifacts. And we also have something kind of unusual. I don't know if you have heard before, but people are familiar with Little Free Libraries. Well, we have a free little art gallery outside of our building where people like the little free libraries can put in little pieces of art and they can take pieces of art. So we encourage people to create and share their works that way. So what kinds
That's
of
great.
Things are you doing over there in Sharon?
That's great. I just have a quick question for you. The art that you're displaying, I assume, is for sale?
It is. And mostly, I mean, it's up to the artist, but for the most part, it is for sale. And the mm-hmm. library does get a cut of any sales, so that is a way for us to raise money as well.
Mm-hmm. And do you have a committee or volunteers who actively organize and hang the exhibits and seek out the artists, or do people come to you wanting to exhibit?
A combination. I mean, people do come to us. We have a lot of artists who live in the area. But our former children's librarian, and she left in the fall, was an artist or is an artist herself, and she coordinated things. So she's sort of got a schedule lined up for us through the next year, but we will have to figure out who's going to take that on going forward.
Yeah, that's terrific. We used to have art exhibits here and art shows before the pandemic, and then during the pandemic, as you know, we closed for a couple of years and relocated to a temporary location as our building was restored and expanded, and we haven't had any art shows since then. But we have a lot of really interesting historical things in our own possession that we frequently exhibit, and we have a small display case that the Sharon Historical Society, which is located right next door to us on the green, has shared with us, and about half of the year, we're able to put interesting things that we own in there, and the rest of the year, they will make a very little micro exhibit that will draw attention to the larger exhibits and programs they have going on next door. So it's a great collaboration we have there. Our library contains the original first library that was ever in Sharon from 1803. It was called the Sharon Union Library, and it was housed in the First Congregational Church. And the remaining volumes of that subscription library are in our possession, and they're locked up, but they're in a glass cabinet, and people can look through there. And we also have the original ledger that's really fascinating, the catalog that lists every title, where it was purchased, how much they paid for it, and then all of the people who were subscribers. So it's really fascinating. And the collection as a whole, it's very interesting to see what people in a New England town were reading in the early 19th century. But that's really a great thing we have. The most exciting thing recently has been something we call our historic poster collection. And it's a fascinating story. When we moved out in July of 2022 to relocate, a lot of things went into storage, including a very large oak table, library table, that we believe is original to the library. We still have it. And it was located previously upstairs. And I don't know why, but it was one of the last pieces that the movers carried out of the library. And I don't know why they didn't come down the big staircase, but instead they lifted this big table up and hoisted it over a railing. We have sort of a mezzanine gallery above the main part of the library with additional stacks upstairs, but it's opened to the downstairs. It's very beautiful. And they lifted the table over to some guys who were waiting down below to grab it and carry it out. And as they lifted it over and turned it 90 degrees, a gigantic drawer opened that none of us knew was in the table. There were no handles. It was half the size of the top of the table. And paper started flying out of this drawer. And there were exactly 100 old posters in this table. And some resourceful librarian, starting way back when, would stash these things in there. And we have this amazing collection of posters from World War I, World War II, and up into the 1960s. So we have a lot of the famous war bond posters, and we're talking big, you know, big ones, and really beautiful things. So we had applied for a grant through the ALA for some ARPA funds, and we were able to secure money to do research on them and to get some of them restored. So some of them are now backed with canvas, and they've been framed and are on display in the library. And we have many more that are in boxes now in storage. But it was an incredible thing, and no one knew they were there. We also have in there some of the original Children's Book Week posters, which are now framed and are decorating our children's room. We have the first poster Maurice Sendak ever designed in the 50s when he was a relatively unknown artist and illustrator. So it's been really fun, and they look beautiful in the library. So we've been really excited to have those. So it's fun to have those bits of history.
Yeah, sounds fascinating. I should come see them.
Yeah, so you'll have to come. They're really beautiful. Yeah. The centerpiece is really a poster from the 4th of July of 1918, so the last 4th of July during World War I, and it was screen printed in Millerton. The printer's name is at the bottom, and no one else had ever seen a copy of this. The Historical Society doesn't have it, and it's a big broadside that tells you all the activities that were happening on the green that day. And it's fascinating. There were, bands and a parade and a special honoring of parents of soldiers who were still serving in the war, and ice cream and sandwiches and lemonade, and allegorical scenes were going to be acted out on the green. It's really, really fascinating. So please come over and check them out sometime. Before we reopened, we had an exhibit of them next door at the Historical Society, which was another great collaboration. So what have you been reading, and what's popular over there at Rojan these days?
The popular books are still God of the Woods by Liz Moore is still holding
strong.
Boy, it
keeps going, huh?
Yeah, it's got a long shelf life. More recently, We Do Not Part by Han Kang, the South Korean author of The Vegetarian, who just recently won the Nobel Prize in Literature. Her new book, We Do Not Part, become popular, as is The Frozen River by Ariel Lahon, which is it's a historical novel based on Laurel Thatcher Ulrich's The Midwife's Tale, about a midwife in the 18th century. So that's our most popular books. What I am reading, I have recently just finished and I would highly recommend, is Brave the Wild River, the untold story of two women who mapped the botany of the Grand Canyon. It's a nonfiction book by scientist and journalist Melissa Savigny. It came out in 2023 and was on the top of a lot of, you know, best books of the 2023 lists. And it's the story of Elzeta Clover and Lois Jodder, two botanists in 1938, who ran the Colorado River to map the botany of that region, which had not been done before. And this was before the damming of the river, and it was really a very dangerous trip to take, and not many people had made it. And later, decades later, their work has been used, their list of plants has been used to help restore and protect that river ecosystem that has been threatened since with climate change and the damming of the river and all the changes that have happened since. So it's a great book about women scientists, about climate, about the settlement of the West, and just a great outdoors adventure story.
Sounds great. I have heard of that book, and we were considering it as one of our reads this year for one of our library book groups. So I hope that we'll read it because I had my eye on it. It's a good recommendation. I just read Orbital by Samantha Harvey, which won the Booker Prize, the very slim book that's really sort of a long poem. It's really incredible, about one day in the lives of the astronauts on the International Space Station. And in that day, they orbit the Earth six times. And I think there are five or six of them, and they're from different countries. And it's sort of the everyday life. You know, you learn what they have to do. They have to exercise 2 or 3 hours a day, quite vigorously, to maintain their muscle mass, which you lose in zero gravity. But it's also their thoughts and observations as they're looking down on the Earth, as they're, you know, zipping around six times in one day. And it's very beautiful, very meditative, sometimes funny. You know, their personalities come out, very normal human emotions like jealousy and envy, because on the same day, the first lunar mission since the Apollo missions has taken off from Cape Canaveral and is barreling towards the moon, and these guys are kind of jealous because they're just going around and around, and the people in that spaceship are going somewhere. They have a goal. But it's a beautiful book written by a British author, Samantha Harvey, and I recommend it. It's short. You don't want it to end, because if you're someone who likes language and reads for really interesting use of language and unexpected, beautiful language, it's really, really fits the bill. That's been popular here. And also Niall Williams, the Irish writer, his new book called Time of the Child. His last book was called This is Happiness, and that was very popular here. And that one was about the rural Ireland as electricity was really brought to the masses in Ireland. And this new one is a Christmas story, actually, set in a small Irish town, and a doctor there and his life. So it sounds very good. I haven't read that one yet. But and the new Ann Tyler book, 3 Days in June, has also been popular. And I'm looking forward to this month because a lot of great writers have some new stuff coming out this month. What events do you have happening this month in Rhode Island?
So this month, the Columbia County Libraries, the 11 libraries, Columbia County are kicking off a countywide community read of Braiding Sweetgrass by Robin Wall Kimmerer. So we have there's a lot of events throughout the county around the themes in that book. I encourage people to go to the ColumbiaCountyLibraries.org website, where you can find information on all those programs. We also have books available throughout the county for distribution to encourage people to participate. And we also this month are starting another book reading and discussion program on sustainability. We'll be reading 6 books over the course of 6 months on the topic of sustainability and what it means in local communities. And so those are a couple of reading opportunities. We also have some tech labs coming up. We have one on the 23rd of March on AI and ChatGPT. So if you've been curious about that and how to use ChatGPT, come on by on Sunday, the 23rd. In addition to the tech labs, we have a series of history webinars that are also in conjunction with the County Library Association. And this month, next Monday, Monday the 10th, we have one on Eleanor Roosevelt. These are in partnership with the FDR Presidential Library and Museum, and Jeff Urban, the educator there, will be presenting on Eleanor Roosevelt, Tireless Advocate for Change. So again, that is on Zoom, and you can register by going to the county website.
Great things coming up. I'm going to have to call you separately to get some info on some of those from you. Sound like great ideas. We have launched our Lunch and Learn program for older adults, and on the second and fourth Friday, we are serving a delicious lunch and having programs. So next Friday, the 14th, we have lunch and a discussion of the digital offerings that the library has, getting people oriented on our offerings for digital ebooks and audiobooks and streaming movies, and also a short presentation on protecting yourselves from scams on the internet and phone and email. We also, this Sunday, the 9th of March at 4 p.m., our Women and Aging series will continue, and we have a guest speaker, Dr. Elizabeth Wing, who's a naturopath with an office here in Sharon, and she will be talking about naturopathic strategies for aging. And we have our regular weekly book groups going on, monthly book groups, lots of kids' activities, so check out our website, Hotchkiss Library of Sharon.org, for all the details. And we will talk to everyone again soon.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut.